we live in. What a shame, oh, what a shame. Someone's always quarreling, then marriage don't remain. Divorces by the thousands, is this human race insane? I always thought that marriage should be a sacred thing. Married by the Bible, divorced by the law. Every day there's more and more, the worst I ever saw. Things have changed, they're not the same as the days of Ma and Pa. They were married by the Bible, no divorces by the law. Steps are often taken without thinking twice, and oft times there's a child or two who's left to pay the price. Those little hearts so innocent, they don't know who's to blame. No mom and dad to love them. What a shame, oh, what a shame. Married by the Bible and divorced by the law. Every day there's more and more, the worst I ever saw. Things have changed, they're not the same as the days of Ma and Pa. They were married by the Bible and no divorces by the law. Married by the Bible, divorced by the law. Every day there's more and more, the worst I ever saw. Things have changed, they're not the same as the days of Ma and Pa. They were married by the Bible, no divorces by the law.
You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 18th of April, 2018. It is my 371st word for word show. I don't count the reruns as a new show. This is 371 new ones. Okay, we're in the book of Judith and the Apocrypha. Judith is actually Yahudith in the Hebrew, but they anglicized it to Judith. It means a female of the tribe of Judah. That's what it means. And Yahuda, which is the proper name for the tribe of Judah, means Yah is praised. They were praisers of Yahweh. That's what the name means. Let me give my website before we launch into this today. It's www.pastor-steve.com. It's not an interactive site. Can't troll there. No chat, no comments. It's a download and listening site. All scripture, nothing else. That's what it's for. There are links to other two seed line sites. And just click on them and you can go and get all kinds of information in there. Things for sale, how to order my publications. I don't advertise particularly. I would have a very small audience anyway, because a lot of people are not into really studying. That's the problem today. They don't want to study scripture too much like work. But for those that do, it's there. Let's get into chapter 7 of the book of Judith. This is an historical count. It's not necessarily scriptural. It's the intertestamental books. But it's got a lot of stuff in here and tells you what Yahweh did to some of these people. And this is the campaign against Betulia. Chapter 7, verse 1. The next day, Holofernes ordered his whole army and all the allies who had joined him to break camp and move against Betulia and to seize the passes up in the hill country and make war on the Israelites. I'm not really going to announce verse numbers because it breaks up the flow of the passages. It's not that important in this book. So you can read along with me. I'll give a verse number every once in a while so you can gauge where we're at. But I want to have the thing flow properly so it reads right. So all their warriors marched off that day. Their fighting forces numbered 170,000 infantry. That doesn't mean infants. It just means troops, infantry, and 12,000 cavalry. That's a lot of folks. 170,000 infantry and 12,000 cavalry. Not counting the baggage and the foot soldiers handling it. A very great multitude. They encamped in the valley near Betulia, beside the spring, and they spread out in breadth over Dothan as far as Baalbaim, and in length from Betulia to Siamon, which faces Esdraelon. Verse 4. When the Israelites saw their vast numbers, they were greatly terrified and said to one another, "They will now strip clean the whole land. Neither the high mountains, nor the valleys, nor the hills will bear their weight." Yet they all seized their weapons, and when they had kindled fires on their towers, they remained on guard all that night. Verse 6. On the second day, Holofernes led out all his cavalry in full view of the Israelites in Betulia. He reconnoitered the approaches to their town and visited the springs that supplied their water. He seized them and set guards of soldiers over them and then returned to his army. Verse 8. Then all the chieftains of the Edomites. Okay. Edomites. And all the leaders of the Moabites. And all the commanders of the coastland came to him and said, "Listen to what we have to say, my lord, and your army will suffer no losses. This people, the Israelites do not rely on their spears, but on the height of the mountains where they live, for it is not easy to reach the top of the mountains. Therefore, my Lord, do not fight against them in regular formation, and not a man of your army will fall. Remain in your camp and keep all the men in your forces with you. Let your servants take possession of the spring of water that flows from the foot of the mountain, for this is where all the people of Bethulia get their water. So thirst will destroy them, and they will surrender their town. Meanwhile, we and our people will go up to the tops of the nearby mountains and camp there to keep watch to see that no one gets out of the town. Then their wives and children will waste away with famine, and before the sword reaches them, they will be strewn about in the streets where they live. Thus, you will pay them back with evil, because they rebelled and did not receive you peaceably. Okay. He wanted everybody to just lay down for him. Well, wasn't happening. He just went along, was just killing everybody. Well, he reached Israel. Now things are going to be different. Verse 16. These words pleased Holofernes and all his attendants, and he gave orders to do as they had said. So the army of the Ammonites, see, these are traditional enemies of Israel, moved forward together with 5,000 Assyrians, that would be Asherim, and they encamped in the valley and seized the water supply and the springs of the Israelites. And the Edomites, turn the page here, and Ammonites went up and encamped in the hill country opposite Dothan, and they sent some of their men toward the south and the east, toward Egreba, which is near Cushi beside the Wadi Machmur. The rest of the Assyrian army encamped in the plain and covered the whole face of the land. Their tents and supply trains spread out in great number, and they formed a vast multitude. Okay, now we get into the distress of the Israelites. Verse 19. The Israelites then cried out to Yahweh, their Elohim, for their courage failed because all their enemies had surrounded them and there was no way of escape from them. The whole Assyrian army, their infantry, chariots, and cavalry surrounded them for 34 days until all the water containers of every inhabitant of Bethulia were empty. Their cisterns were going dry, and on no day did they have enough water to drink, for their drinking water was rationed. Their children were listless, and the women and young men fainted from thirst and were collapsing in the streets of the town and in the gateways. And they no longer had any strength. Okay, verse 23. Then all the people, the young men, the women, and the children, gathered around Uzziah and the rulers of the town and cried out with a loud voice and said before all the elders, "Let Elohim judge between you and us. You have done us a great injury in not making peace with the Assyrians. For now We have no one to help us. Elohim has sold us into their hands to be strewn before them in thirst and exhaustion. Now summon them and surrender the whole town as booty to the army of Holofernes and to all his forces. For it would be better for us to be captured by them and other authorities have than to die of thirst. Okay. We shall indeed become slaves, but our lives will be spared, and we shall not witness our little ones dying before our eyes, and our wives and children drawing their last breath. We call to witness against you heaven and earth and our Elohim, the Lord of our ancestors. Will it? Okay. Here, the Lord, that would be the master of our ancestors, who punishes us for our sins and the sins of our ancestors, do today the things that we have described. Verse 29. Then great and general lamentation arose throughout the assembly, and they cried out to Yahweh Elohim with a loud voice. But Uzziah said to them, courage, my brothers and sisters. Let us hold out for 5 days more. By that time, Yahweh our Elohim will turn his mercy to us again, for he will not forsake us utterly. But if these days pass by and no help comes for us, I will do as you say. Verse 32. Then he dismissed the people to their various posts, and they went up on the walls and the towers of their town. The women and children he sent home in the town, they were in great misery. And that ends Chapter 7. Now we're going to get into chapter 8, and this has to do with the author, Judith or Yahudith. Because there's no J in Hebrew, so they just added all of this. With the J and all of that. They highly modified a lot of scripture with language changes, etc., etc. So, especially in these books, these are historical things. Sometimes they're not as diligent in transcribing them. And the change from Hebrew to Greek, well, it was tough. Now, this is chapter 8. Now in those days, and I'm going to use the word Judith so you understand. I'm not going to Hebrewize everything. Judith heard about these things. She was the daughter of Merari, son of Ox, son of Yosef, son of Oziel, son of Elkiah, son of Ananias, son of Gideon, son of Raphaim, son of Achitub, son of Elijah, son of Kilkiah, son of Eliab, son of Nathanael, son of Salmiel, son of Sarasdai, son of Israel. Wow. Her husband, Manasseh, who belonged to her tribe and family, had died during the barley harvest. For as he stood overseeing those who were binding sheaves in the field, he was overcome by the burning heat and took to his bed and died in his town, Betulia. In other words, he had a heat stroke and killed him. So they buried him with his ancestors in the field between Dothan and Balamon. Judith remained as a widow for 3 years and 4 months at home, where she set up a tent for herself on the roof of her house. She put sackcloth around her waist and dressed in widow's clothing. She fasted all the days of her widowhood except the day before the Shabbat and the Shabbat itself, the day before the new moon and the day of the new moon, and the festivals and days of rejoicing of the house of Israel. In other words, she was observant of Yahweh's law. She was beautiful in appearance and was very lovely to behold. Her husband, Manasseh, had left her gold and silver, men and women, slaves, livestock, and fields. And she maintained this estate. No one spoke ill of her, for she feared Elohim with great devotion. In other words, she was a woman that just gave her character. She was a woman of good character. And this is verse 9. It speaks of Judith and the elders. Get a little hit of this coffee. Oh, that's good. When Judith heard the harsh words spoken by the people against the ruler, because they were faint for lack of water, and when she heard all that Uzziah said to them, and how he promised them under oath to surrender the town to the Assyrians after 5 days, she sent her maid, who was in charge of all she possessed, to summon Uzziah and Cabras and Carmes, the elders of her town. Verse 11. They came to her, and she said to them, "Listen to me, rulers of the people of Betulia. What you have said to the people today is not right. You have even sworn and pronounced this oath between Elohim and you, promising to surrender the town to our enemies unless Yahweh turns and helps us within so many days. Who are you to put Elohim to the test today and set yourselves up in the place of Elohim in human affairs? You are putting Yahweh Almighty to the test, but you will never learn anything." She's reading them the Riot Act here. "You cannot plumb the depths of the human heart or understand the workings of the human mind. How do you expect to search out Elohim, who made all these things, and find out his mind or comprehend his thought? No, my brothers, do not anger Yahweh or Elohim. For if he does not choose to help us within these 5 days, he has power to protect us within any time he pleases, or even to destroy us in the presence of our enemies. Do not try to bind the purposes of Yahweh or Elohim, for Elohim is not like a human being to be threatened, or like a mere mortal to be won over by pleading. Therefore, while we wait for his deliverance, let us call upon him to help us, and he will hear our voice if it pleases him." Verse 18. "For never in our generation, nor in these present days, has there been any tribe or family or people or town of ours that worships gods made with hands, as was done in days gone by. They got rid of all the idol worshipers. That was why our ancestors were handed over to the sword and to pillage, and so they suffered a great catastrophe before our enemies. But we know no other God but Him, and so we hope that He will not disdain us or any of our nation. For if we are captured, all of Yehuda, and they have Judea here, that's the land of Yehuda, will be captured, and our sanctuary will be plundered. That means the temple. And He will make us pay for its desecration with our blood. The slaughter of our kindred and the captivity of the land and the desolation of our inheritance, all this He will bring on our heads among the nations. Now they have the word Gentiles in here. It is an error. Among the nations. That means non-Israel nations. Wherever we serve as slaves, and we shall be an offense and a disgrace in the eyes of those who acquire us. For our slavery will not bring us into favor, but Yahweh our Elohim will turn it to dishonor. In other words, you're tempting Yahweh. That's not a healthy thing to do. That's sort of stupid. Remember what happened in the past. Verse 24. Therefore, my brothers, let us set an example for our kindred, for their lives depend upon us. And the sanctuary, both the temple and the altar, rests upon us. In spite of everything, let us give thanks to Yahweh our Elohim, who is putting us to the test as He did our ancestors. Remember what He did with Abraham and how He tested Yitzchak, and what happened to Yaakov in the Syrian Mesopotamia while he was tending the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother. For He has not tried us with fire, as He did them, to search their hearts, nor has He taken vengeance on us, but Yahweh scourges those who are close to Him in order to admonish them. All right, verse 28. Then Uzziah said to her, "All that you have said was spoken out of a true heart, and there is no one who could deny your words. Today is not the first time your wisdom has been shown, but from the beginning of your life all the people have recognized your understanding, for your heart's disposition is right. But the people were so thirsty that they compelled us to do for them what we have promised and made us take an oath that we cannot break. Now, since you are," they have a God-fearing woman, probably righteous woman, "pray for us so that Yahweh may send us rain to fill our cisterns. Then we will no longer feel faint from thirst." Verse 32. Then Judah said to them, "Listen to me. I am about to do something that will go down through all generations of our descendants. Stand at the town gate tonight so that I may go out with my maid and within the days after which you have promised to surrender the town to our enemies, Yahweh will deliver Israel by my hand. Only do not try to find out what I am doing, for I will not tell you until I have finished what I am about to do. Oh, we've got intrigue here. Oh, yes. Verse 35. Uzziah and the rulers said to her, "Go in peace, and may Yahweh Elohim go before you to take vengeance on our enemies." So they returned from the tent and went to their posts. That ends chapter 8. Now we'll begin chapter 9. Then Judith prostrated herself, put ashes on her head, and uncovered the sackcloth she was wearing. At the very time when the evening incense was being offered in the house of Elohim in Jerusalem, Judith cried out to Yahweh with a loud voice and said, "O Yahweh Elohim of my ancestor Shimeon, to whom you gave a sword to take revenge on those strangers who had torn off a virgin's clothing to defile her, okay, now it has, in the Greek, it has loosed her womb to defile her, and exposed her thighs to put her to shame, and polluted her womb to disgrace her. For you said, 'It shall not be done,' yet they did it." Now remember, that was Dinah, the sister. "So you gave up their rulers to be killed, and their bed, which was ashamed of the deceit they had practiced, was stained with blood, and you struck down slaves along with princes, and princes on their thrones. You gave up their wives for booty, and their daughters to captivity, and all their booty to be divided among your beloved children, who burned with zeal for you and abhorred the pollution of their blood and called on you for help. O Elohim, my Elohim, hear me also, a widow." Verse 5. "For you have done these things in those that went before and those that followed. You have designed the things that are now, and those that are to come. What you had in mind has happened. The things you decided on presented themselves and said, 'Here we are.' For all your ways are prepared in advance, and your judgment is with foreknowledge." Let's stop right here and examine our situation today, brothers and sisters. We are being tried because most of our people have gone into apostasy, and they're worshiping on the sun god day, and they're celebrating Christmas and Ishtar Sunday for the goddess of fertility instead of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Tabernacles. They're doing everything. They've made idols out of sports figures and all this other nonsense. He's testing us today, and the remnant he's drawing out. He's drawing out the remnant. The remnant will be preserved, and the rest are going to go by the wayside. And we keep telling people that, but they don't want to listen. Well, back to Judith. Verse 7 of chapter 9. Here now are the Assyrians, a greatly increased force, priding themselves in their horses and riders, boasting in the strength of their foot soldiers, and trusting in shield and spear, in bow and sling. They do not know that you are Yahweh who crushes wars. Yahweh is your name. Break their strength by your might and bring down their power in your anger, for they intend to defile your sanctuary and to pollute the tabernacle where your glorious name resides. And to break off the horns of your altar with the sword. Look at their pride and send your wrath upon their heads. Give to me, a widow, by the strong hand to do what I plan. By the deceit of my lips, strike down the slave with the prince and the prince with his servant. Crush their arrogance by the hand of a woman. Verse 11. For your strength does not depend on numbers, nor your might on the powerful, but you are the Elohim of the lowly, helper of the oppressed, upholder of the weak, protector of the forsaken, savior of those without hope. Please, please, Elohim of my father, Elohim of the heritage of Israel, Lord of heaven and earth, creator of the waters, king of all your creation, hear my prayer. Make my deceitful words bring wound and bruise on those who have planned cruel things against your covenant, and against your sacred house, and against Mount Zion, and against the house your children possess. Let your whole nation and every tribe know and understand that you are Elohim, the Elohim of all power and might, and that there is no other who protects the people of Israel but you alone. And that ends chapter 9. That was a powerful prayer that she just prayed. That very powerful. So now we're going to do chapter 10. And she's preparing to go out to Holofernes. She's got a plan. Chapter 10. When Judith had stopped crying out to the Elohim of Israel and had ended all these words, she rose from where she lay prostrate. She called her maid and went down into the house where she lived on Sabbath and on her festal days. She removed the sackcloth she had been wearing, took off her widow's garments, bathed her body with water, and anointed herself with precious ointment. She combed her hair, put on a tiara, and dressed herself in the festive attire that she used to wear while her husband, Manasseh, was living. She put sandals on her feet and put on her anklets, bracelets, rings, earrings, and all her other jewelry. Thus she made herself very beautiful to entice the eyes of all the men who might see her. She gave her maid a skin of wine and a flask of oil and filled a bag with roasted grain, dried fig cakes, and fine bread. Then she wrapped up all her dishes and gave them to her to carry. verse 6. Then they went out to the town gate of Bethulia and found Uzziah standing there with the elders of the town. Cabras and Carmus, when they saw her transformed in appearance and dressed differently, they were very greatly astounded at her beauty and said to her, "May the Elohim of our ancestors grant you favor and fulfill your plan so that the people of Israel may glory and Jerusalem may be exalted." And she bowed down to Elohim. Then she said to them, "Order the gate of the town to be opened for me, that I may go out and accomplish the things you have just said to me." So they ordered the young men to open the gate for her as she requested. When they had done this, Judas went out accompanied by her maid. The men of the town watched her until she had gone down the mountain and passed through the valley. Where they lost sight of her. Here's where she gets captured. Verse 11 of chapter 10. As the women were going straight on through the valley, an Assyrian patrol met her and took her into custody. They asked her, "To what people do you belong, and where are you coming from, and where are you going?" She replied, "I am a daughter of the Hebrews, but I am fleeing from them, for they are about to be handed over to you to be devoured. I am on my way to see Holofernes, the commander of your army, to give him a true report. I will show him a way by which he can go and capture all the hill country without losing one of his men, captured or slain." Boy, they're liking to hear this. She's lying to them, but they don't get it. Verse 14. When the men heard her words and observed her face, she was in their eyes marvelously beautiful. They said to her, "You have saved your life by hurrying down to see our Lord. Go at once to his tent. Some of us will escort you and hand you over to him. When you stand before him, have no fear in your heart, but tell him what you have just said, and he will treat you well." Verse 17. They chose from their number 100 men to accompany her and her maid, and they brought them to the tent of Holofernes. Let me get a little drink of coffee here. There was a great excitement in the whole camp, for her arrival was reported from tent to tent. They came and gathered around her as she stood outside the tent of Holofernes, waiting until they told him about her. They marveled at her beauty and admired the Israelites, judging them by her. They said to one another, "Who can despise these people who have women like this among them? It is not wise to leave one of their men alive, for if we let them go, they will be able to beguile the whole world." Verse 20. Then the guards of Holofernes and all his servants came out and led her into the tent. Holofernes was resting on his bed under a canopy that was woven with purple and gold, emeralds and other precious stones. When they told him of her, he came to the front of the tent with silver lamps carried before him. When Judith came into the presence of Holofernes and his servants, They all marveled at the beauty of her face. She prostrated herself and did obeisance to him. But his slaves raised her up. And that ends chapter 10. Here's chapter 11. Then Holofernes said to her, "Take courage, woman, and do not be afraid in your heart, for I have never hurt anyone who chose to serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of all the earth. Even now, if your people who live in the hill country had not slighted me, I would never have lifted my spear against them. They have brought this on themselves. But now, tell me why you have fled from them and have come over to us. In any event, you have come to safety. Take courage. You will live tonight and ever after. No one will hurt you. Rather, all will treat you well as they do servants of my lord King Nebuchadnezzar." Verse 5, she explains why she's there. Judith answered him, "Accept the words of your slave and let your servant speak in your presence. I will say nothing false to my lord this night. If you follow out the words of your servant, Elohim will accomplish something through you, and my lord will not fail to achieve his purposes. By the life of Nebuchadnezzar, king of the whole earth, and by the power of him who has sent you to direct every living being, not only do human beings serve him because of you, but also the animals of the field and the cattle and birds of the air will live because of your power under Nebuchadnezzar and all his house. For we have heard of your wisdom and skill, and it is reported throughout the whole world that you alone are the best in the whole kingdom, the most informed and the most astounding in military strategy." Verse 9. "Now as for Achior's speech in your council, we have heard his words. For the people Betulia spared him. He told them all he had said to you. Therefore, Lord and Master, do not disregard what he said, but keep it in your mind, for it is true. Indeed, our nation cannot be punished, nor can the sword prevail against them, unless they sin against their Elohim." Verse 11. "But now, in order that my Lord may not be defeated and his purpose frustrated, death will fall upon them, for a sin has overtaken them by which they are about to provoke their Elohim to anger when they do what is wrong. Since their food supply is exhausted and their water has almost given out, they have planned to kill their livestock and have determined to use all that Elohim by his laws has forbidden them to eat. They have decided to consume the first fruits of the grain and the tithes of the wine and oil, which they had consecrated and set aside for the priests who minister in the presence of our Elohim in Jerusalem, things it is not lawful for any of the people even to touch with their hands. Since even the people in Jerusalem have been doing this, they have sent messengers there in order to bring back permission from the council of the elders. When the response reaches them and they act upon it, on that very day they will be handed over to you to be destroyed." Verse 16. "So when I, your slave, learned all this, I fled from them. Elohim has sent me to accomplish with you things that will astonish the whole world. Wherever people shall hear about them, your servant is indeed righteous, and they have God-fearing here, and serves the Elohim of heaven night and day. So, my Lord, I will remain with you, but every night your servant will go out into the valley and pray to Elohim. He will tell me when they have committed their sins. Then I will come and tell you, so that you may go out with your whole army, and not one of them will be able to withstand you. Then I will lead you through Yehuda. It would be Judea in English. That's the country of Yehuda. Until you come to Jerusalem, there I will set your throne or chariot. You will drive them like sheep that have no shepherd, and no dog will so much as growl at you. For this was told to me to give me foreknowledge. It was announced to me, and I was sent to tell you. Boy, she laid it on thick. Woo! Verse 20. Her words pleased Holofernes and all his servants. They marveled at her wisdom and said, no other woman from one end of the earth to the other looks so beautiful or speaks so wisely. Then Holofernes said to her, Elohim has done well to send you ahead of the people to strengthen our hands and bring destruction on those who have despised my Lord. You are not only beautiful in appearance, but wise in speech. If you do as you have said, your Elohim shall be my Elohim, and you shall live in the palace of King Nebuchadnezzar and be renowned throughout the whole world. And that ends chapter 11. Now we're going to take up in the next show, starting with chapter 12. But remember, as I have read this to you, that Nebuchadnezzar made himself a god. Okay? He said, I am a god. And I do this and I do that. Just ego, 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 brag, 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 brag. Well, it's all going to come to an end. And it's going to be an interesting end to this book. So we will begin with chapter 12 on Friday, the 20th. There's a great deal of similarity here between when Deborah in the book of Judges beheaded the fella in her tent, and what's going to come up. This man, Nebuchadnezzar, who was not a Yahweh worshiper, was not an Israelite, had placed himself as a divine being here on earth. That's going to come down on him and his whole crew. So tune in on Friday, and I will give you chapters 12 through 16 of Judith, and it's going to be very poetic and very exciting. I am enjoying all of this very, very much. I like reading these books. I've got about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to play the bumper music and then sign off, and I will join you on Friday. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Here I lay upon my dying pillow. Round my bed I see those tear-dimmed eyes. They are watching the saddest thing that can happen. They're seeing a sinner as he dies. Me. Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh. Mm-hmm.